Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are continuing to discover more of the riches of God's grace from Ephesians chapter 1.
Well, it is His family, it is His world, it is His plan. We should look to see what all the riches of the grace are that is known to us, that we realize that all spiritual blessings have been given, and that we who have first trusted in Him should be to the praise of His glory. We should not bring shame on our family name. We should not go against the riches of His grace as He reveals them to us. We should walk in obedience from a heart of love.
I am really looking forward to this week's study. We're going to start at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Now, do you want me to read that, Janie?
Go ahead and read it.
In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, Christ, who works all things after the counsel of His own will.
Okay, I bet I could give you three guesses which word you want me to say something about.
Predestined.
Right. Well, that is a very beautiful word with great significance that half the body of Christ sees one way and half sees the other way. And it depends on where your historical background teaching derives. Okay. And for us to try to give a clear explanation on predestined today would be if the Lord would stop the hands of time. And since I don't think He plans on doing that, let's just give you the two thoughts that come out from the theology and the doctrines that are being taught today.
Okay.
One of them is that everybody is predestined unto salvation, and that the Lord has saved them, picked them out for His own before the foundations of the world, and they are the elect, and that they will be saved no matter what. Then the other side of the camp says that we are predestined unto good works, and that that is part of the process of the grace of God and the riches of His grace, and that we're predestined to a particular calling. And these words all get kind of interwoven like you were weaving a rope. And part of it comes from two separate schools of thought and really goes back to the time of Christ. And then another part of the school got predominance in the 4th century. So let's just say that predestination right now is God being assured through His own will and purpose as to who will be with Him throughout eternity. And that can be because some will not accept Him. But I will make one offhand comment here, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ is never subservient in His decisions based on me making my decisions. Otherwise, as subtle as that sounds, I've just become the dominant one, and He's in subjection to my choices.
Okay.
And so that needs to be worked out.
Okay.
All right. And so if that's the case and it's my choices, then, you know, it gets to the point that I could lose my salvation if I changed my choice.
Okay.
And so that has some flaws with it. But the other side of the question needs to also be if we're predestined to service, that includes salvation plus it's a long study.
Okay, so we'll just move on for today then.
Okay, all right.
Well, is there anything else in verse 11 that you wanted to bring out, Janie?
Just nothing that He does all things according to the counsel of His will, and we have that being stated in these different verses. If I can summarize all of it is His show.
Okay.
Well, it is His family, it is His world, it is His plan.
That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's verse 12.
So, in a casual way of saying that, is that we should look to see what all the riches of the grace are that is known to us, that we realize that all spiritual blessings have been given, and that we shouldn't mess it up. Okay?
Okay.
That We who have first trusted in Him should be to the praise of His glory. We should not bring shame on our family name. We should not go against the riches of His grace as He reveals them to us. We should walk in obedience from a heart of love.
Okay. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Now, I do know that from other parts of the scripture that our ability to trust has to be because we've been drawn. In John, it tells us that we are being drawn. So the fact that we think we can just wake up as depraved creatures and say, oh, I think I will choose this game plan, that causes us to believe that there is some good in us that can be redeemed. The only good in me I know is the blood of Jesus Christ and His forgiving me of my sins and letting me be a part of His family and taking on His likeness. So as we do that, the Holy Spirit then confirms that we have done what we have responded the way the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, wants. And so they say, we are going to give you a seal. In the old days, a seal was when a king had something that he wanted to make known that it was from him and it was being sent someplace else. He stamped it in with wax and a seal, and that could not be opened until the person who received it could open it, and it would be his edict or what he had decreed. So the Holy Spirit is now given to us in that same manner. God has sent Him. He is our seal. He is our guarantee because of the character and who God the Father is. And He's not going to do a resend or, tear that one up. I changed my mind.
Right.
It is forever. And for the person seeking security, seeking to know that they can have something other than 70 or 80 years here and then nothing, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest, and take my yoke upon you because I am lowly and meek of heart. So He's saying, accept my game plan, accept my provisions, accept the cross, the resurrection, and you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit residing in you until you see me face to face. It's a guaranteed. And boy, in this day and age, that's a nice verse.
Yeah.
That's another part of the riches of His grace.
Okay. And then verse 14 says, which is the earnest or the promise of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory.
So basically, we've covered that. We've just said it's good until He is ready to let us be with Him in His presence forever and ever.
Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
And that's just another way of Paul saying, I'm so glad you're getting with the program. I'm so glad that you're taking these things and starting to understand them. Now, he doesn't say they've got a fulfillment here by any means, but what is the spirit that we should have? A spirit of praise and rejoicing as we see the fruits of what we speak and what we share. We can't mature anybody, Sharon. We know that. We can't even get ourselves mature.
Right.
It is by the riches of His grace. But when we see light bulbs going on in people's lives, aren't we happy when we see someone say, I want Jesus Christ in my heart? I just want to jump up and down.
Oh, my goodness, Janie, I get so happy when I get a light bulb. It's like, wow.
And then
light has come on.
And then a couple of days, I get a three-way. I get three inspirations in one day, and I don't want to do anything except play the piano and sing praises. So it's wonderful. And the Bible says that our hearts should be full of joy. So again, just another confirmation of what the riches of the grace are. I think we're down now to about 18.
We're at 17.
Okay.
17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him.
And we basically have just said that. It takes a revealing. And that is something that means we have a teachable spirit. and that we have been willing to take our nasty nails and lay them at the cross.
So really kind of the revelation is the light bulb that finally comes on. Says, hello, I'm finally seeing this, Janie.
It's been in my head. It's been in my head for 5 years, but now it's worked itself down to my heart.
I've read this 100 times, and now when I read it, light bulb comes on. It makes sense. Okay, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh, wow. There's another one.
Okay.
That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
And we all have a calling. None of us are here just to, I have a saying that I say, we're not here for food, fun, and fellowship, although I enjoy food, fun, and fellowship. But that's not our goal of our existence.
Right.
And when people make pleasure and comfort the goal of their existence, then they're always on rabbit trails or escape paths because they're looking for the wrong thing. And so we need to be quiet before the Lord and say, what have you called me unto? We know he's called us unto himself. We know he's called us unto eternal life. But there's also a calling that I believe he said for each one of us is a special, unique opportunity to show forth him in these years that we live here.
Yeah, because it's not about us. The situations and things that we go through, it's all about him. It is all about him bringing, enlightening our understanding to him.
That's right.
To him.
And I will tell you a place where I know that I have struggled in the past and could struggle at any moment again. And that is when your heart is geared towards him, your intent is to love him, you see where you were created unto good works, you see that there is a message in save and serve, but it's got to be in the boundaries and the guidelines of which the rest of the scriptures put it. And so at that point in time, I realize that somebody who's doing everything right can make the ministry for the Lord a priority instead of the person of the Lord. But it's very easy to be believing you're doing everything right and then miss the mark and grieve him, and you sense the distance, but you don't know why, because you do your check sheet and everything should be in place. But somehow, that's what happened at the Church of Ephesus. They were doing everything right, but one thing. They left their first love, the person. So in this calling, we want to make sure that our calling is first unto our Savior, the Lamb, the Lion, God the Father of all creation, that that's where we go to.
Right.
And then out from that, we then have ministry that is born by and through and to him.
Yeah.
So that calling is
all about him.
That's right.
All about him.
Okay.
Knowing Christ and making him known. Right.
And that we can do in ministry, provided we know him first, so that we are giving the accurate...
And not just in ministry, but in our lives.
In the home.
In our homes, in our workplace, to our children, everywhere, to our friends, to our parents.
And that can be done by the character that we allow him develop in us, knowing what our disposition or our agreement with him, we can have different character traits, but our disposition needs to be the same mindset of what his is. And then he's free to share with us, because we're not going to, if I can use another very temporal phrase, we're not going to gunk it up.
Yeah.
With self, legalism, law, standards. Yeah. It's going to be him just simply flowing through us.
Okay. Well, we'll go on to 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power?
Now, this is something that he has just shown me recently in a deeper level, and I would like to do at least part of a lesson on just this verse.
Okay.
But in the Old Testament, power was made known by visible manifestations.
Okay.
Okay, and they saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the miracles. They saw the things that happened in the land. They were in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years, and their clothes, all right. They had a light to guide them and a cloud, and there was physical manifestations. And you know what? Because we are still in our earth suits, we want the physical manifestations. But in 2 Timothy 3, it tells us that in these last days, there's going to be horrendous times, and there's going to be rebellion and lovers of self, and demonic force will be strong. And so now, if we don't see that power overcoming all of that, has he lost his power? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But here's what's happened. Shall we say, his power now is dealing with where it needs to be in this time economy. So his power works in protecting us from unseen forces that we don't know are even around us. I've lived in foreign countries where they have denied the Christianity for thousands of years, and there's manifestations of wickedness that I never dreamed would be manifested here in this nation. But it's happening, Sharon.
Yeah.
And so I have learned to pray the power right now that we need to accept by faith, not necessarily a visible miracle, but it's still just as much a miracle, because he's working like a stage man behind the curtains to see that the curtains rise and go up, and that no one comes on the stage that should not be there, and that there's no hecklers and what have you. So the power is there and greater than ever, because the wickedness of our times is greater than ever, and his power will be greater than that. So it's just a thought to think on, that maybe you don't see the parting of the Red Sea,
right?
But you see people being saved from disasters that they shouldn't have come out of, or you see somebody's heart being changed when you know that the demonic was dominant in their life. So the power is always active and working in its fullness. We just can't get disappointed if we can't see the magnitude of it in a circumstance.
Right. And a lot of times we don't see the power in the little things that take place. We don't call those miracles because they're not some big and out there thing, when they really are miracles. They're acts of God in miraculous ways that, even though they're small things, they prevent the big things from happening.
Right? And don't you find that it's a miracle that our attitudes and actions can get transformed, and instead of having an irritated, vexed, you know, no quietness in spirit, that all of a sudden you have calm in the storm? Now, to me, that's a mighty miracle.
Yeah.
And it's being worked from behind the scenes and transforming by the Spirit, but it's nevertheless the power of God working.
I think when we know ourselves well enough to know where we've come from and look back over where we've been, we can say, wow, Lord, I'm a miracle.
Yes. Yes.
A miracle.
And I think there was a little kid's song says, I am a miracle. I can't remember the song, but it was a good song. Okay. So we're almost to the end to find the conclusion.
Okay. We're on verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Okay, so that ties in with the power. And so we can see that that power is really actuated for us right now when he raised him from the dead. Because you talk about power bringing a decaying body out of a grave into newness of life and a spiritual body, but still a spiritual body that could minister to those that were in the natural body. And that crossover was wonderful. And do you know, just one little point, that when that spiritual body, Jesus Christ in that spiritual body, came out of the grave, he only showed himself to those that were of his family. He didn't go try to show the heavenly body to the natural man that was still in death.
So he didn't run over to the Pharisees and Sadducees and say, see, here I am.
But you see, what he did do, read in the next two or three verses and we will show what he did do.
Okay, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, that he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all.
Okay, this is the last act of the current play on the stage. This power has now provided Jesus Christ, as he was resurrected, to take all power and be above all principalities, all dominion, everything that is currently here and in all the ages to come. Everything that we've learned about him, even before the past, he's now saying, God the Father is now saying, this is being transferred to my son. He is taking this. And my son is the head of this body that I call my family. Mm-hmm. And then the beautiful and yet sobering is that he is the head, and he is now connecting the head with the body. Mm-hmm. So now what the head says, the body is to make known. And I don't want to get into any gory earthly illustrations, so let's just use an illustration of something going wrong in the body. And it doesn't want to coordinate with the head, okay? And we can do that when we do me, myself, and I. The body acts independently of the head. And that's the sadness, because the goal of Ephesians 1 is that everything has been transferred to Christ, who will then take possession of it forever and ever, in his timing, his pleasure, his will. But in the interim time, We have the joy and the responsibility to making that known in this dispensation to whomever the Lord makes known to us through this broadcast, through our personal testimony, through every experience. That is the ultimate in joy, I do believe, and that is our calling because we've been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Well, Janie, we are out of time. If you will take us to prayer, and those that want to maybe come into that place of being the body of Christ and being a child of God, help them to understand how to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Listen to my words, although you may not be able to say them right after me, and see if your heart and mind is in agreement with the prayer of asking the Lord to be your Savior, your King, your all in all, his purpose for your life you accept and want him to fulfill it. And you want him to fulfill it in his purpose, in his timing, for his honor and glory. And if that's your heart's desire, no matter that you may not understand a lot, but you know inside you want it, then say, Father, I accept you for all that you are and for all that you have done for me at the cross of Calvary. I want to be your child and live with you and for you and unto you forever and ever. Take me and make me yours. In your son's name, I claim the promise because of who you are. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHarts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.